was visiting Syria vows a proportionate response to Israel's recent attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus. Hello and welcome from Tehran. You've tuned to World News. I'm Marzia Hashmi. Thanks so much for being with us. First story takes us back to Gaza, where Israeli attacks on different parts of the strip during the past days have claimed at least 38 civilian lives. Six fatalities were reported after attacks on the Nostrad refugee camp and another near Rafah city. More than 33,200 Palestinians have been killed since October the 7th. An official of the Hamas resistance movement says no progress has been made at the Gaza ceasefire talks that are being held in Egypt. The Palestinian official blames the Israeli delegation, saying there has been no change in the regime's stance and therefore no progress has been made. The humanitarian situation in the war-ravaged strip is the main subject of the talks. Hamas demands that the invading Israeli forces leave the strip and that Gazans return to their homes. The new round of talks are being held at the Egyptian capital of Cairo, with delegations from Israel, Gaza, Qatar, and the United States participating in the negotiations. Well, the International Court of Justice has started hearings on Nicaragua's genocide case against Germany for supporting Israel.
In the present case, Nicaragua is invoking the responsibility of Germany in connection with the genocide committed by Israel, and also the responsibility of Germany for the violations of its own obligations under the Genocide Convention and of the violations by Germany of its own obligations under international humanitarian law. Germany is failing to honor its own obligation to prevent genocide or to ensure respect of international humanitarian law. The violations of international humanitarian law by Israel create obligations for Germany, as it does for all states of the international community, obligations for which Germany is responsible and which are being claimed in the present proceedings.
The Nicaraguan ambassador also said German companies involved in the military industry are directly profiting from the situation, as they have seen the prices of their shares rise since October the 7th. Nicaragua has accused Germany of facilitating the commission of genocide against Palestinians by supporting Israel's war in Gaza. It hopes that the case, if won, would suspend Germany's military assistance to the regime. Berlin will present its side in court on Tuesday. The court will likely take weeks to deliver its decision. Germany is one of the major arms exporters to Israel, sending more than 326 million euros worth of military equipment and weapons just in 2023. Journalist and commentator Sanda Assad joined us earlier from Beirut. She believes that only the United States is capable of ending the Gaza war.
The only way that will help the Palestinians is in archiving these crimes and these atrocities and ruining the image of the Zionist occupation and the American administration. But we know that such international bodies like the Criminal Investigation Court and others, they are ineffective and impotent because they are directed and moderated by these Western governments. So yes, it's for the part of exposing the Zionist crimes before the international community. It's something significant, but as I have mentioned earlier, I don't think that they will help the Palestinians and stop this genocide. Because the only one that can stop this genocide is the American administration, but the American administration won't and has no will to stop this aggression and this genocide.
The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has targeted three Israeli military sites in the occupied territories in response to the regime's massacres of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Resistance group announced that it had struck an Israeli barracks in the occupied Syrian Golan Heights using a drone. The group added that it had also targeted another barracks as well as a military base in the occupied Palestinian territories. The resistance group underlined that it will continue to target Israeli positions and interests in solidarity with Gazans who have been under incessant Israeli attacks for more than 6 months now. In recent months, the Islamic Resistance in Iraq has carried out a series of attacks against Israeli targets. It has also hit U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria in retaliation for Washington's support for the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Meanwhile, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah and the Israeli military continues to exchange fire along Lebanon's southern border as tensions remain high amid Israel's war on the besieged Gaza Strip. Now, Lebanese media say at least 3 civilians have been killed and several others injured in the latest Israeli strikes. Earlier, our correspondent in southern Lebanon, Mariam Saleh, brought us more details on this.
We don't have any details concerning the civilian casualties yet. We're still waiting to see whether we do have a big number, or you said 3. It's not clear so far how many civilians exactly, and from which, if they are children, if there are any women, and so on. This is something we're waiting to see. We still saw that there was a lot of heavy shelling on the town of Farkila. Farkila is a bordering town. It had its share of really heavy shelling yesterday and destruction. So the Israelis basically are not just only targeting areas that are further off, trying to kill, trying to retaliate for the blows that are getting from the resistance in Lebanon, but they are also trying to destroy as much as they can in the bordering towns of Farkila and Khiam and Ait Ashab, for example, and Ait Arun. Hezbollah, of course, has dealt a heavy blow to the Israelis on several regards. They used the Burkhan rockets extensively yesterday and the day before against not only the posts, the military devices, and not only use of drones as well. They're also using it against the Israeli military personnel. Even when they try to move at night, Hezbollah has been able to monitor and detect those movements. That seems to be clear from the footage that we're getting from Hezbollah. We're also seeing how the Burkhan rocket is causing extensive destruction to the devices, to the posts of the Israelis. That is also something that the Israelis are talking about. It's extremely costly.
Meanwhile, a young Palestinian woman has died from her wounds after being shot by Israeli occupation forces in the occupied West Bank. The identity of the slain Palestinian woman remains unknown, as the Israeli army continues to hold her body. The young woman was shot at a military roadblock near the city of Nablus. Israeli media claimed that she had attempted to stab a soldier at a checkpoint east of Tubas. Eyewitnesses say the regime forces prevented others from helping her after the shooting. Palestinians in the occupied West Bank have been enduring increased IOF aggression since the onset of the regime's war on Gaza. Israeli forces have killed hundreds of Palestinians at checkpoints or during violent raids across the occupied territories since October the 7th. Meanwhile, new clashes have erupted between Israeli occupation forces and Palestinian resistance forces in the occupied West Bank, where regime's bulldozer was exploded. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, brings us more.
These clashes are severe as the Palestinian resistance groups released videos of an Israeli military bulldozer burning. The Palestinian resistance group said that their fighters succeeded to detonate explosive devices into Israeli bulldozers and a number of vehicles that raided Balata refugee camp in Nablus, and at least one bulldozer catched fire and was burning. The Israeli troops had also raided several areas of Al-Khalil, arresting at least 25 Palestinians. A number of them are Palestinian minors. And according to Palestinian Commission of Prisoners Affairs, the number of those who had been detained since the 7th of October here in the occupied West Bank is over 8,100 Palestinians, despite the fact that the Israelis continue to arrest at least dozens every day across the occupied West West Bank, despite the fact that the Israelis had turned literally the occupied West Bank into a big jail, separating cities and areas from each other. But the Palestinian resistance groups are still saying that their fighters are engaged in several exchanges of fire with the Israeli forces.
The Iranian foreign minister has vowed a proportionate response to last week's deadly Israeli strikes on the consular section of Iran's embassy in Damascus. Hossein Amir Abdullahian made the pledge in a meeting with his Syrian counterpart, Faisal Mehdad, in the capital, Damascus. He added that such assaults would only strengthen the bond between Iran and Syria in their pursuit of regional security and stability, as well as countering the Zionist entity. He further said Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's desperate actions in his waning days would yield no results. The top Iranian diplomat is in Syria on the second leg of his regional tour, where he's also scheduled to meet with President Bashar al-Assad. On Sunday, Amir Abdullahian has paid a visit to Oman. Boats Day rallies and marches have been held in cities across Canada. Participants in the rallies call for the immediate end to Israel's genocide in the Gaza Strip. Our correspondent Camila Escalante reports from Toronto.
Thousands came together for the annual International Quds Day March in the Canadian city of Toronto to show their solidarity with the Palestinian people, especially those in the besieged Gaza Strip. Palestinian solidarity organizations and communities rallied across from the U.S. consulate, calling on Ottawa and Washington to act urgently to end the Israeli terror campaign and genocide and try to save as many lives as possible.
This is one of the biggest Al-Quds Day commemorations in Canada every year. And this year it's especially important because people are motivated to come out in large numbers to bring an end to this genocide that's taking place in Gaza and underline their commitment to see a free Palestine from the river to the sea and a free Al-Quds, a free Jerusalem, free from Zionism and occupation.
Millions around the world are marching yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all week. Thousands of cities and towns across the globe are making Al-Quds Day an international day, a call for justice and freedom, particularly for the Palestinian people as they are facing genocide and war crimes in Gaza.
The city has continued its heavy policing of pro-Palestinian demonstrations. Just 1 week ago, several participants were injured and six others were arrested in the annual Land Day commemoration by the Toronto police, who were captured on camera using excessive force.
So last week, people must have seen the videos by now, but the police completely attacked a peaceful rally, and there was horses involved, and this is what the police do. They're on the side of the Zionists, they terrorize people, a protest, a simple, peaceful protest. You're not allowed. This is another example of the Palestine exception. That protest is good, it's a liberal, it's a sign of democracy, except when you're talking about Palestine, you can't do that.
Participants also use Quds Day to condemn a recent deadly attack by the Israeli regime on Iran's consulate building in Syria's capital, Damascus.
Well, Iran has been subjugated to all forms of aggression at the hands of the Zionist regimes and their backers. But the last crime that Israel have done in destroying the Iranian embassy in Damascus, that is a zero tolerance. Iran will respond, and I think that Iran is being called upon by the people to respond against this Israeli aggression.
As the targeted killing of civilians and the starvation campaign continue, a temporary resident visa program announced by the administration in Ottawa 3 months ago has failed to bring to Canada any Palestinian relatives of Canadians from Gaza. Against that backdrop, families and activists are pressuring for a real arms embargo on Israel. Camila Escalante, Toronto.
Now to Afghanistan, where the World Food Program is reporting a staggering increase in malnutrition cases in that country, especially among children amid economic sanctions on Afghanistan. The authority says admissions to clinics for malnutrition have tripled over the last year in the capital, Kabul. Rahmatullah Baghban reports from Kabul.
Afghanistan is now battling an invisible foe that threatens its future generations. The World Food Program has sounded the alarm on the rising tide of malnutrition cases, a crisis worsened by the country's ongoing economic challenges and reduced international aid. Marking the World Health Day, the Taliban's Minister of Public Health expresses concern over the malnutrition crisis, calling for international support.
It is clear that Afghanistan is one of the poor countries in the world. There is no doubt that children and mothers are grappling with malnutrition. We need the support of the world in combating the disaster. I call on the UNICEF, WHO and WFP to continue their assistance to our people with poor health conditions, especially those suffering from malnutrition.
The impact of international sanctions and the U.S. policies cannot be overlooked in understanding the gravity of the situation. That is a warning by pediatricians here in Afghanistan. Years of conflict have severely damaged the country's infrastructure, making it a challenge to provide adequate healthcare and nutrition to vulnerable groups. Moreover, recent cuts in international assistance as well as the Western-led sanctions are worsening things.
There are also some foreign factors exacerbating the malnutrition crisis in Afghanistan. Afghan assets that belong to Afghans and are meant to support our economy are frozen. We are witnessing a decline in international health assistance, especially to our children. Some international bodies continue to collaborate, but these are not sufficient. Some organizations that used to support families have ended their missions in Afghanistan.
Lots of people like me are coming to this hospital because their children are malnourished. I think everything boils down to a single problem, economic shortcoming. If our family had enough to eat, our children wouldn't become undernourished. People don't have money and they're not receiving aid anymore.
Experts emphasize that the need for immediate aid cannot be overstated. Afghan families are in desperate need of assistance to combat this malnutrition crisis. The international community must come together to provide the necessary resources and support to save lives and alleviate the suffering of the Afghan people. The economic crisis in Afghanistan is taking a toll on the health and well-being of the war-ravaged nation. Advocates warn that without a significant increase in support, the crisis will further deepen. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
And with that, it brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thanks so much for staying with us.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Ya estamos de regreso para seguir las conversaciones que hemos tenido.
We are now back to continue the conversation we had to learn about the Palestinian diaspora in Chile. Today I invite you to talk with Valentina Salvador Huagui, A Chilean doctor of Palestinian origin who has been working recently since the beginning of the genocide in Gaza with a group of doctors to try to help. Let's learn a little bit more about Valentina through the following video.
Un poco más sobre Valentina.
Valentina Salvador es nieta de palestinos.
Valentina Salvador is the granddaughter of Palestinians. She studied medicine and is a specialist in surgeries for oncological diseases. She learned the love of cooking from her grandmother and grew up with recipes that she still continues to prepare and that connect her with the cultural traditions of her homeland. In 2017, she traveled to Palestine as part of a program that brought together the diaspora from different continents. She returned with the memory of a kind, happy, and welcoming people who enjoyed life with simplicity despite the tensions of the occupation, the wall, and the many shortcomings. As part of the Doctors' Society of Palestine, where some 300 specialists participate, they began to pressure scientific societies to play a more active role and denounce the genocide. The events, however, have led them to continue their work raising funds to send medical supplies through the Chilean embassy in Egypt. Valentina believes that not only is the lack of food and water serious, the treatments that were left unfinished, the lack of vaccines and the lack of medical care in short are also other slow and silent ways of exterminating the Palestinian nation.
Hola Valentina, muchas gracias por haber aceptado esta invitación.
Hello Valentina, thank you very much for accepting our invitation. You are third generation. On what date and for what reasons do your parents migrated here?
Acerca de la llegada de tus padres.
I'm sorry, your grandparents.
De mis abuelos, sí. Daniel, muchas gracias por la invitación. Un honor.
Well, of course, my grandparents. Daniel, thank you very much for the invitation. It is an honor to be here representing the Doctors of Palestine. Look, my family on both sides come more or less before the Nakba. It was mainly as a result of the persecutions by the Ottoman Empire. For example, my family name is Salvador. My grandfather arrived in Chile around 1910. Several of his children were born in Bet Lalal, but my grandfather was born here in Chile, in the town of Catamu, where they settled upon their arrival in Chile. On the other hand, in depth, my grandfather's wife, Victoria Issa, came to Chile directly from Palestine. Around 1929-1930, my grandfather's father arrived here with them, and from there, in the bottom line, the family has settled in this land.
Aquí hay dos eventos que es importante destacar.
Here there are two events that are important to highlight. It was around the First World War that the Palestinians arrived. Turkish Ottoman Empire decided for the first time to force the inhabitants to defend the empire in any possible wars that might arise. And they began, for the first time, to recruit the firstborn children, the eldest of each family. And that makes many Christians and also Jews send their children out of Palestine to avoid taking them to the war. In the case of the grandmother, she surely came because of the great general strike of the 29th, where the colonization process had already begun, and we were at the gates of the Nakba, but the Nakba was already planned. This is very interesting because this also generates surely the same thing that happened in your family. A generational gap. The children of that do not have much of a relationship with Palestine. They do not pass on the language, for example. And it is always the third generation that recovers Palestinianity. What was that process like? What was it that set it off? And what are you up to today?
¿Qué fue lo que lo detonó y en qué estás hoy día?
Mira, tal cual como tú dices,
look, just like you say, it happens to me also. Well, obviously, in my parents' house, they spoke an Arabic language. And being born in Chile, they kind of had to recover everything because in Chile, things were a little different. It's just like you say, they kind of experienced Palestine in the house.
Cosa que para nosotros fue diferente.
Something that was different for us. I think I get emotional because of the topic, sorry. But I think I have returned to it. I come from a school with a lot of social sense, a lot of politics. I don't think I had ever questioned it, like where it comes from. But yes, I think it was my dad who instilled it into me. Regardless of the fact that I seldom spoke, there was always these Palestinian things in my house. Always, always. Everything had to do with it. Food, traditions. And I think this provoked my sense of curiosity to investigate what this Palestinian thing they were talking about is. So I started to investigate, to learn from history. When people spoke to me, I like to have information and tell them what this is, what Palestine is, what is happening, because they asked me at school. Deep down, there was an important Palestinian group that would talk about the issue of Palestine, and sometimes I felt like I had to participate in such arguments. The Palestinian issue always resonated in my head. It's good, it catches my attention, because I'm the most Palestinian-like person in my generation.
In fact, you are the first to travel to Palestine.
Exactly. In 2017, I said that I really have to go. I have to see what happens. And in addition to being the most beautiful trip of my life, at the same time, it is also a very powerful trip. Encountering this reality of injustice and encountering this reality of their everyday lives are really heartbreaking. And it is sad because they are very good people, a good nation, but in the end, they are having a hard time on a daily basis. And they are used to it. They have normalized this. I have friends who have instilled resistance into their lives. They don't have the possibility of being seen. I have a group of friends who are actually marathoners called Right to Movement. And they were in Chile here recently. And the truth is that I kind of see in them a hope of getting out of this. But in the end, there is no great help for them to achieve this hope.
There's a question that I always ask here because not many people understand it. When I took my first trip, I had a very special feeling, and I want to know if you felt the same thing and how you experienced it, because here you were actually returning to a place where you have never been to.
Yes, it's very strange.
Los videos que acabamos de ver nos muestran
three different facets of the Zionist project. First, some Israeli citizens are enjoying watching the genocide from a hill in the occupied territories and cheering their army doing what the Nazis did with them. It is as if it were a film made in Hollywood. Second, we see an Israeli project, a real estate project to be located in the Gaza Strip, a coastal area oriented towards the north and with tourist potential, highly desired by Western imperialists. Third, we see images of the Nakba and all the destruction and this whole plan known as the Plan Dalet to expel about 700,000 Palestinians, destroying 500 villages, and the life, history, and geography of those who had lived in this territory for centuries. Well, let's see the story on the maps to see the evolution of this, to see if, indeed, as Finkelstein said, what happened on October 7th justifies what came afterwards. Does what has happened in the last 75 years justify the complete dismantling of a fascist and neo-colonial regime like that of Israel? This is Palestine at the beginning of the 20th century, where Jews, Christians, Muslims, and atheists lived together without any problem and in absolute peace and brotherhood, with a proportion of the Jewish population close to 5%. Shortly after, in the first Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland in 1897, Theodor Herzl, recognized as the father of contemporary Zionism, presented his project called the Jewish State to form a Jewish national home in Palestine. Of course, the lobby carried out throughout the West, and with the main powers of the time allowing them to achieve in 1917 the Balfour Declaration, known as the formal beginning of the Palestinian tragedy. Great Britain, the current England, without having any right to do so, committed themselves to the Zionist organization and to give Palestine a group of foreigners coming from all over the world. This declaration was put into practice by an illegal immigrant that sought to change things on the ground and change the proportion of the population. In 1947, the population of Jewish religion was about 30%, but above religion, the Zionist population came in, but not only as refugees seeking support, but to start the programs of Tsarist Russia and also the Nazi Holocaust. They came to usurp everything. They made the newly born United Nations, which had been created from the failure of the Society of Nations, approved the partitions of Palestine, an organization that was established to protect the right of self-determination of the people, approved the partition of Palestine. And guess who were not invited to the meeting? The Palestinians. That is, in complete absence of the main owners of the land, they gave 55% of historical Palestine to the Zionist organization and 44% divided into three unconnected zones to the Palestinians. Clearly, there was no possibility that either of these two states would be consolidated as they were intended. Obviously, the Palestinians rejected, but Zionism also rejected it and advanced in the war of 1948 until it occupied 78% of historical Palestine in 1980. What we know today as occupied territory remained in the hands of Jordan and Egypt, but this lasted about 20 years until the war of 1967, where Israel made use of its great military power and its always strong support from the Western powers, and mainly from the United States, from Europe and Germany, tried to pay the blame for the Nazi Holocaust with Palestinian blood. They advanced on the entire territories and on the heights of the Syrian Golan and a strip of Lebanese territories that remained occupied for more than two decades. Today, after years of extermination, after years of a genocidal policy on the parts of Israel with the Oslo Agreement, the Palestinian territories are reduced to a 15% and also in the form of small Bastustans without connections to each other. In such a way, they not only intend to drown the Palestinian population, but also the Palestinian economy. Now they continue encouraging or forcing in every possible way the Palestinian population to leave the place. But we Palestinians have resisted stubbornly. We have stayed on the lands to which we belong, and we have no intention of abandoning this land to make way for the continuity of the neocolonial Zionist project. And that is why we today face an ongoing genocide in Gaza, because the leaders of the Zionist project have understood that the foreigners can never defeat those who have remained in this land forever. I offer you the floor. We have time for two questions, please.
Tiempo para dos preguntas, por favor.
Un saludo. Mi nombre es Jorge Avedrapo, profesor.
Greetings, my name is Jorge Avedrapo. Here is my question. It is true that the Zionists considered several options, territorial options, to carry out their projects among some Latin American countries. I mean, finally, what could happen in the future at a global level if the advance of Israel's colonial project is not stopped?
Efectivamente, Jorge, entre el primero y el cuarto Congreso Sionista.
Indeed, Jorge, between the first and the fourth Zionist Congresses, most of them held in Basel, Switzerland, several alternatives were put into discussion, including Uganda and Chilean-Argentine Patagonia. The underlying theme was that there was no excuse that could be used to expel the inhabitants of these territories, and therefore they resorted to the myths of the biblical promise and the chosen people to sustain a colonial project like Zionism. And that is why Palestine ended up being chosen. Furthermore, if one looks at this as a projection not only of a Palestinian issue, because the problem is not only here. This is a problem of the global North-South confrontation, and therefore what happens in Palestine will have an intimate relationship with what happens in the Western Sahara, with what happens in other parts of the world, in Gualmapo, in our country, where the hegemonic classes, world imperialism, and transnational imperialism must do everything possible to protect the interests they harvest through occupying every inch of this territory and controlling every inch of the market and effectively appropriating any common property or natural resources. This strategy exists in the world. Therefore, from my humble perspective, the only possibility of reaching a just solution in Palestine is the overcoming of capitalism on a global scale.
Es la superación del capitalismo a escala global.
Hola, mi nombre es Carlota.
I am Carolina Espina. I am president of the Luis Emilio Recovera Collection and Resource Center in Zeiler. My question is, why is the word apartheid used to refer to the Israeli policy against Palestine?
El apartheid es un concepto que se utiliza.
Apartheid is a concept that is used to refer to states or societies where there are two different systems inside them. For example, in South African apartheid, where within the same country, South Africa, there was a system for whites and a system for people of African descent. This system is seen today in Palestine and also in Israel, because not only within Israel there are first and second category citizens and different systems for those who are historically Palestinian and for Israeli citizens, but things are also tough for those who have recently arrived there and have just adopted Israeli citizenship. That's because they are Zionists and have many more rights than the Palestinians who have lived in Israel since before their birth. In addition, what we are seeing today in Gaza and the West Bank is a situation where the Israelis and the occupation, the illegal occupying power, the illegal Israeli settlers have all the rights, but the Palestinians have none. That is why the word apartheid was coined, and that is why it has been expanding the possibility of everyone recognizing the Israeli occupation as an apartheid system. We must never forget that in 1974, the United Nations General Assembly decreed that Zionism was a form of racism, homologously comparable to South African apartheid. This is while, due to the changes in the correlation of forces and North American and European pressure, this resolution was annulled several decades later. But this has not annulled the spirit and essence of Zionism, that in all these years, nothing has changed.
I
have mentioned it in other programs, and I reiterate it today with more force than ever. Palestine, in its 5,000 years of history, has lived only 120 years of peace. The Palestinian people consisted of an ethnic strain absolutely intercultural, composed of Jews, Christians, Muslims, atheists, belonging to diverse peoples who have settled in Palestine at some point in history. They have been there since before the first invaders arrived, and they will surely be there after the last ones leave. Today, thousands of supposed Israeli citizens have abandoned Israel because they no longer feel safe among the Palestinians. The Palestinian nation sink their legs and roots into the ground of their homeland, where they are born, grow, and die. That's because Palestine is their land. I invite you to watch this program next week to learn more about the concept of genocide in Gaza. Don't miss the next episode of A Window to Palestine.
En el próximo capítulo de Ventana a Palestina.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful Hello everyone, brothers and sisters I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua In this edition of the program we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Qawwi ala khidmatika jawarihi واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهبني الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing this excerpt of the Divine Kumail supplication. حَتَّى أَسْرَحَ إِلَيْكَ فِي مَيَادِينِ السَّابِقِينَ So that I hurry to you, move easily to you in the battlefields of the foremost. وَأُسْرِعَ إِلَيْكَ فِي الْبَارِزِينَ So that I hurry to you among the prominent. وَأَشْتَاقَ إِلَى قُرْبِكَ فِي الْمُشْتَاقِينَ So that I desire fervently your proximity among the fervently desirous. وَأَدْنُوَ مِنْكَ دُنُوَ الْمُخْلِسِينَ So that I move near to you with the nearness of the sincere. وَأَخَافَكَ مَخَافَةَ الْمُوقِنِينَ so that I fear you with the fear of those who have conviction, وَأَجْتَمِعَ فِي جِوَارِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, so that I gather with the believers in your nearness. We said that the true meaning of mu'min, the exemplar of mu'min, is the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salam. Now, we said that there is necessity of getting to know the Ahlul Bayt, and it is mentioned in the Holy Quran and in the traditions. It is unanimously agreed in the science of logic that when presenter is being discussed, the presenter who introduces a fact must be superior to the presented, so as to be able to present the fact as it really is. So after proving the imamah of the Ahlul Bayt in the previous episode, and the fact that they are the inheritors of the Prophet's knowledge and have been inspired by Allah, we could say that who is better presenter in this universe than the Ahlul Bayt themselves in order to make their selves known for us. We have no option but to refer to them to get to know them. Getting to know the Ahlul Bayt will lead to salvation, nearness to Allah, and a true understanding of Islam is lying behind understanding the Ahlul Bayt. In this relation, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ مَنْ عَرَفَ فَضْلَنَا, the happiest people are those who recognize our superiority and excellence. وَتَقَرَّبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِنَا, the happiest of people is the one who has sought nearness to Allah through us. وَأَخْلَسَ حُبَّنَا, who has loved us sincerely. وَأَمِلَ بِمَا إِلَيْهِ نَدَبْنَا, and acted according to what we called for. وَانْتَهَا عَمَّا عَنْهُ نَهَيْنَا, and stopped doing what we have prohibited. فَذَاكَ مِنَّا وَهُوَ فِي دَارِ الْمُقَامَةِ مَعَنَا, such people are from us, and they will be with us in the eternal paradise. This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam is teaching us to ask from the Almighty Allah. وَأَجْتَمِعَ فِي جِوَارِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, O Allah, we ask you to be gathered with the believers in your nearness.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, strengthen my limbs for your service and sustain the strength of my hands to preserve in your service, and bestow upon me the eagerness to fear you and constantly serve you, so that I may lead myself towards you in the field with the vanguards who are in the fore rank, and be swift towards you amongst those who hasten towards you, and urge eagerly to be near you, and draw myself towards you like those who sincerely draw themselves towards you, and to fear you like the fear of those who believe firmly in you, and that I may join the congregation of the faithful congregated near you.
Thank you, Allah, that we're here feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
So among all the creations of the Almighty Allah in the universe, be only physical or spiritual, the creation which is a combination of physicality and spirituality, the Ahlul Bayt are the best ones. The reason for superiority of each of these groups over the other is determined by Allah, His spiritual favor, the capacity of the creature, the perfect faith. But we want to explain more this issue. So we will set some examples for these three groups in order to know their levels. In the Holy Quran and narrations, certain places and pieces of lands have been mentioned as having a special value for the Almighty Allah. For example, Kaaba and its vicinity. But the Holy Quran attracts people's attention to such nights and times like the grand night of Qadr. So, for the Almighty Allah, there are different times that have different values. The grand night, for example. The days of Allah, the first 10 nights of Dhul-Hajjah, for example. But the point is, the question is, what makes a human being superior to others in faith? What makes a human being superior to others in knowledge and piety? Now, the point is that believing people are better in value than others, and the scholars who practice their faith are superior to the believers, and the people of piety are of the highest value. In this relation, the Holy Quran has delicate and precise reference. The Holy Quran says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Allah will exalt those of you who believe and those who are given knowledge in high degrees. So, a believer's value is such that both the Holy Quran and narrations consider kindness towards a believer as kindness to Allah and His Messenger. This is the true believer. This is the true mu'min that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَأَجْتَمِعَ فِي جِوَارِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39
and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Hamas, where the airstrikes and artillery fire kills scores more Palestinians in Gaza, as the death toll from the regime's genocide surpasses 33,200, mostly women and children. The World Court begins its two-day hearings on a case brought by Nicaragua against Germany that's accused of facilitating the Israeli genocide.